B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
By the way, I'm saying this. I have no inside information, just as somebody who watches the team. I think you saw it with the Patriots, right? At some point, behind the scenes, you can kind of get a little stale. And
right.
You need somebody to come in and you need the new voice or you need the new ideas person, whatever. And I guess I'm just curious to see how this plays out, not just what they do the rest of the season. They're at this pivotal point. This trade exception goes away. They're really not going to be able to replace it. They're deep in on salaries. There's going to be no real way to improve this team unless they do it right around now.
Right.
And if it doesn't go the way I think we think it's going to go, I do wonder if that's maybe Danny graduates and becomes like a senior advisor at his sunrise. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't feel like things will be the same a year from now.
All right, back to your phones here. As promised, Bill Simmons and Jackie Mack openly discussing life without Danny Ainge on the Celtics. Haven't heard that one in a long time or ever. We also got the Patriots on the board. Murray continues to show us his fits. He wants Ryan Fitzpatrick here. Maz is not so sure about these opt-outs coming back. Kyle Van Noy is once again available. Would you take him back? I would. Bitchy Twitter feed and all. I'd take him back on this team. So your thoughts on all of that. Will and Quincy. Go ahead, Will, on the Celts.
Hey, does Al Score's son, the third base coach? Because it seems like every guy in Boston has their son lined up as, like, the next in charge. I was ticked off when I found out that Danny Ainge's son has a seat at the table, and Bill Simmons says, oh, yeah, but he earned the spot. Are you kidding me? I mean, can we just get the best guy for the job and not just nepotism? What is it with our sports town, and how did it get this stale?
I'm telling you, and it annoys me too. But then I was reading something about Russell Wilson the other day, and the headline said, Russell Wilson thinks Pete Carroll's kids run the building. And then I read, Pete Carroll has two of his kids on his staff. And one of the things that is pissing Russell Wilson off is that Pete Carroll's kids run around like they own the place, and it's become an issue on the team. I'm like, well, this is everywhere. This freaking league. And I know we're talking about Austin Ainge here, but the NFL, man, between Andy Reid's, you know, that whole that situation. I mean, and that's really bad, right? That's a bad situation. But that whole freaking league is just everyone getting their job because of daddy. Like, what is up with the NFL and that thing?
It's been that way, I feel like, my whole life.
Yeah, though. Me too.
Shanahan's, Shula's, like, there's always...
Ryan's.
Yeah, yeah.
God. I mean, again, the whole Ryan family, like, football is like a family thing.
It's true.
You know, and look, maybe it is other sports, too. You know, baseball's a big family thing, too. Let's not delude ourselves into that. Most of them are players, although I don't remember many staffs that had, like, brothers on them. And, you know, the only one I can ever remember off the top of my head is the Ripkins. You know, the Ripken dad managed a team with his kids on it. So but that's always weird. Like, I wouldn't want to work with my kids unless I own the company. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of different, you know. But again, that comes back to ownership in the NFL. Even that's weird.
But it goes back to this. If really Danny Ainge moving on in some way, shape, or form is on the table, it's really hard then to go to Austin Ainge as our new GM. Like, I think that would be kind of weird. Tommy on the opt-outs. Go ahead, Tommy.
What's up, boys? The opt-outs. Can these players come back and play if they wanted to, boys? And also, would you guys want to take Kyle Van Noy back?
Yes, we would, Tommy. I would take Kyle Van Noy back.
Sure.
Absolutely, I would take him back. I mean, I think you've got to consider, did you draft these guys last year, the Uches and Jennings of the world and Winovich the year before? Do you want those guys to play? And do you think they're any good? Or are you already going to cut bait and say, oh, there's another couple more sucky draft picks. Forget that. Bring Kyle Van Noy back. I think that's a consideration. But I'd take him back for sure. The opt-outs, Maz. Of the guys who are opting back in, whether you think it's legit or not, who do you want back?
Okay, just quickly on Van Noy, because Jim McBride tweeted this earlier, and I just think it's worth mentioning because we talked about whether the Patriots would bring him back. And McBride said, can confirm that Van Noy has been released, was extremely productive player for the Patriots who have a need at the position. Okay, so again, like, he's saying they have a need. You know, I know they drafted young guys, but doesn't that tell you that they have doubts?
Yep.
Like, that's sort of how I took it with regard to that. Now, in terms of the opt-out guys, I would take Hightower back. I just think there's such a glaring need there. He, aside from being a good player and in big spots, an experienced player and a leader of the defense, to me, he's also a huge culture guy.
Would you give him all his money?
I would. I would. Because I think that they need that kind of guy. He's got presence, status, like, yes. Now, Cannon, I wouldn't. Chung, honestly, I wouldn't, but I think they will, and Chung's coming back. But I still doubt whether Hightower and Cannon are coming back. I want to hear it from them. I want to hear it from them. I want to hear from the player who says, yep, I'm looking forward to getting back on the field in 2021. I want to see that, and we haven't seen that yet.
Alan in California, what do you got for us on the Pats?
Hey, Felder. I just think with everything how it is and how you laid it out over the past few weeks that you kind of set a trap for us. I can see where Bill does this obnoxious thing. We're accepting for maybe a Jimmy G. He brings in the El Cheapo Brigade to fill this wretched roster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to hate what they do at quarterback. Just you wait and see. Just you wait and see.
You might hate what they do, period.
We have more on it coming up. Not only am I becoming more and more convinced you are going to despise what they do as a veteran guy, you are going to despise what they do at the draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a suck sandwich. You're going to hate the whole thing. You're going to hate the whole approach. You're going to hate the names coming in. You're going to hate how they acquired these players. You're going to hate what they paid these players. You're going to hate the whole thing.
It's like the opposite of the slogan from Men's Warehouse. You're going to like the way you look. For the Patriots this offseason, a quarterback, you're going to hate whatever they do.
Oh, are you going to hate it? Just you wait. Mac in California on Jack Eichel. You want him, Mac?
Yeah, well, the Patriots thing, that really sounds like it blows. what happened to your old-fashioned hockey trade analysis? The Bruins are really going to have to give up, like, something that hurts to pry Eichel from Buffalo. Why would the Sabres send Eichel trade for Coyle, Carlo, and a number one?
Agreed.
It's almost like when the green team would call in and would want James Harden for Ogilvy, Langford, and a number one. You're going to have to give up like Pastrnak or McAvoy.
I know. What if I don't like Jack Eichel? Why do I have to do it if I don't like the player?
All right, and you're all good. But
thank you.
Tony said he wanted him.
Yeah.
Well, that's Tony.
I told you I'm not giving up McAvoy, though.
And address your smug attitude to Tony over there. I don't like Jack Eichel.
What happened to your hockey train analysis?
The thing is, if Jack Eichel had a reasonable contract, I think the price would be through the effing roof. But I think the contract is going to. I know Elliot Freeman said it wouldn't, that his market would still be robust. I'm sorry, 5 years left, $10 million per for a guy who's now in his sixth year in the league, and his teams in his 6 years in the league have finished dead last, second to dead last, third to dead last, dead last, dead last. I mean, they haven't sniffed the playoffs. He has made zero difference on that team in terms of wins and losses. Zero. And he's rifled through three different coaches, how many different line mates, how many guys have bailed on that team. And now you have to bring that in at $10 million per for the next 5 years? A coach-killing kid that can't win? I mean, and I know it's being a little unfair. The problems extend beyond him. But the caller mentioned it before. I mean, the plus-minus, and the nerds don't like it, but it's one I still do understand. He's minus 67 in his career. So this is one of these guys. In 2018, he scored 25 goals, but he was a minus 25.
Right.
So it's like
just garbage time.
I mean, I don't know. The Sabres suck. So I don't want to totally blame him for the plus minus. He probably gets huge minutes and is out there in all those situations. But it's like, I don't know. That's not the guy that I give up Pastrnak for. There's very few that I give up Pastrnak for. And I'm giving up almost no one for McAvoy. So the point I said before is, can I get Buffalo to bite on anything else that I have? And does the contract make it so? Do the Sabres say, well, we're not getting the high prospects that we really think we want because his contract's so it's the contract becomes part of that equation. But I start off by saying I'm a no on Eichel. I am. We've got John in Fall River on the Patriots. Hi, John.
Guys, it's going to be so funny for Pats Nation when they take an inside linebacker at 15. But to my take, these people cannot help but continue to talk about the $60 million in cap space. Blah! $60 million in cap space, Felga! Let's spend it around Ryan Fitzpatrick! It's people with this mentality. They're the reason you're pushing credit consolidation loans. Oh, my God. Goodbye.
It's actually a decent deal from Lightstream. I wouldn't dump on that whatsoever. No fees. This $60 million in cap space is another one.
This is going to be good. By the Seriously. Way, does that include Hightower and Cannon? Like, that's what I want to know, too. Are these guys opting back in? Does that consume cap space? Or were they already factored in? I'm serious.
They aren't going to spend it all, folks. And what they do spend it on is going to be so crappy, it's going to make your head spin.
And how they're going to use that 15th pick, I'm with the caller, too. Brace yourself for it. It's going to be a defensive player or a tackle or something like that.
I'm okay with defense there. I'm okay with that.
You're going to hate it. Oh, just wait till you hear this nameless defensive tackle.
I'm okay with Bill drafting defense at 15. He usually does okay on defense. As opposed to what? Some wide receiver who sucks? Like, again, you're going to take another offensive skill guy who blows in the first round? Oh, Bill's done so well there. Lawrence Maroney, N'Keal Harry. You might as well count Chad Jackson, okay, who's top of the second. He sucked through.
The Pats warehouse. You're going to hate the way they look.
I'm just telling you how it's going to play, right? You know, fans on draft night want a quarterback, a skill position player, something they can sink their teeth into. When it's some fat defensive tackle from Clemson, you know, who two gaps, people are going to hate it. They're going to hate it. I'm not telling you it's going to be a bad pick.
I hear you. And I'm not yelling at you, per se. I mean, generally speaking, I dump on them picking fat guys, too. I don't want another fatty in the first round. But in this case, they could use a fatty. That line last year sucked.
Here's Mike and Methuen on Eichel. You want him, Mike?
No. For the reason why you said earlier. I just have something against players coming to their hometown team and playing for them. I can't even imagine Charlie McAvoy being as effective playing for the Islanders or Rangers. I don't want Eichel, and I'm not giving up Pastrnak for him. It just seems like wingers who score like Pastrnak does are much, or at least a little bit rarer than centers like Eichel that put up some points. And I really think even if you get a mediocre center or somebody slightly above average, that they can excel as long as they have somebody on their side that's going to put the puck in the net. So no on Eichel.
Yep, I'm a no on Eichel. I'm a yes on Crosby. They're both dream scenarios. Because I really don't think Eichel's a match. I don't. I think Crosby is. And I still think it's unrealistic, but I'm much more willing to dream and fantasize about that than I am about Jack Eichel. I want a guy that's going to come in here and win. I think Crosby would come in here and win. All right, so we've said it. You know, the thesis, the mission statement today, and I believe it 100%. You will hate what the Patriots do at quarterback this year. You're going to hate what they do in the veteran ranks, and you are going to hate what they do at the draft. And I want to get to that piece to it as well, the draft piece. Oh, are you going to hate what they do at the draft? And I'll tell you why you're going to hate it and why they're going to do something hateable. I'll explain all this right after these words.
Tell your fans. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stephen A., do you think Bill Belichick should prioritize a quarterback and trade up and get Mac Jones?
Hell yeah. Absolutely. I mean, what are you going to do? Rely on Jared Stidham? I ain't going to cut it. Rely on Cam Newton? I ain't going to cut it. You need a quarterback in New England. There ain't no question about it. And if you believe so much in Jimmy Garoppolo, okay, why the hell wouldn't you believe in Mac Jones? The brother threw for 4,500 yards last season. 41 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions, and won a national title. Now, it does help when you got Devontae Smith to throw the football to. You got Najee Harris to hand the football off to and run the football to. Jalen Waddle wasn't really healthy for most of the season. okay? But, you know, when he was available, you had him to throw the football to, and you were coached by Nick Saban, and Nick Saban and Bill Belichick being close, communicating as much as they do, respecting one another as much as they do. Certainly, if you're Bill Belichick, and this is a product coming out of Nick Saban's system, you damn right you should do it that way.
All right, so I'm getting the sense more and more when it comes to the Patriots and the draft and the quarterback position, we are all wasting our time. We are spinning our wheels.
Why just the draft?
I mean, it's true. It's true, the whole thing. But the point of this segment is just the draft. Let's just focus on the draft for a second. Because Murray sent me something that I sort of always had in the back of my mind, but never really thought of in black and white terms. And Murray gave it to me. And that was, what, Murray? What did you email me today?
Well, so this is why I think you can forget about them drafting in the first round. They don't like spending money, right? Or at least Bill doesn't really like spending money that's going to be wasteful. So say Mac Jones isn't ready to go and he's available at 15. Like, they know he'd be a project. Look at Jordan Love in Green Bay last year. He was the 26th overall pick. He's sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. Last year, dead cap money, $6.5 million, just sitting there, not improving, not seeing any real snaps, sitting behind Rodgers. This coming year, Jordan Love's cap number, $9.3 million. Money's just being wasted. You think Bill's going to do that with a quarterback that's a project? No shot. He might draft in the second or third round at that position. First round, 15 overall, forget it.
Consider the money. And now Murray's even focusing on the wrong thing. Forget the cap numbers. Real money. The first round picks get something approaching real money in terms of bonuses and guarantees. The quarterbacks especially, who always get a little bit more. Like, let me give you for an example. 2 years ago, Dwayne Haskins was drafted 15th overall.
Mm-hmm.
The exact spot the Patriots find themselves today. 15th overall. And at the quarterback position. So for inflation, these numbers will go up just a little bit, but it's probably right around here. So if you draft Mac Jones, anyone, at 15 overall, you're going to have to give them a signing bonus around $8.5, $9 million and around $15 million guaranteed. Dwayne Haskins signed an $8.5 million signing bonus and $14.5 guaranteed. Again, a couple years later, it might creep up just a little bit, but something in that range. Now, I also think and believe in my heart of hearts, this rookie quarterback is not playing. He's not playing. Mac Jones might be the closest. But, like, I don't know how, for example, Trey Lance goes from playing, what was it, two games in
one.
The span? Well, it's going to be one game. When it's all said and done, he will have played one game in the span of 2 or 3 years.
Right.
He is not playing anywhere near the first half of his first year in the NFL, if at all in that first year. Or if he's even getting a uniform. Like, that guy is going to be such a project. And, I mean, so if it's Trey Lance, he's not playing. I'd even say Justin Fields and Zach Wilson feel like they're not playing anytime soon here. Bill hates rookies. He hates rookies and he hates quarterbacks. So what's that going to mean for the rookie quarterback? Those guys are sitting. Those guys are sitting. So, again, if you draft the guy at 15 overall, it's $9 million guaranteed, $8.5 million, call it, $8.5 million guaranteed to sign, $14.5 million guaranteed overall on the contract. So there's your drafted player who's not going to play. Now we're talking, say, Murray's guy, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everyone says, well, that's going to cost you $10 million. That's what the low-end starting quarterback number is, $10 million. So now you're going to have $10 million guaranteed for Ryan Fitzpatrick and then $14.5 million guaranteed to your quarterback who's going to sit on the bench for a year because he's not playing. So now you're at $25 million out of pocket at the quarterback position. That's what they're going to do? And neither of them are going to be any good?
No shot.
When you wouldn't give Brady that money? The whole point is that you have to have it be a certain percentage of the cap because you can't, the quarterback can't take up too much cap space, right? They're on the record as this sort of thing. So forget about just one guy. Combine it. Combine the rookie quarterback number to whatever veteran you're bringing in. And Garoppolo makes more than 20, even if they restructure him. He's not going to go lower than 10. And so this is why Cam Newton makes sense if you're drafting a guy, because Cam Newton is dirt cheap. But if you're bringing in anyone's going to make any kind of money, $10 million. Mariota makes $10 million. Fitzpatrick says $10 million. You know, like, let's just say that's the baseline for your low-end starting quarterback, $10 million. Add it to the rookie quarterback. Never mind trading up. Justin Herbert last year as the sixth overall pick, his contract, 4 years, $26 million, $17 million to sign, $26.5 million guaranteed. The whole thing was guaranteed. Is that right? Is that a misprint by me? Either way, $17 million to sign. So let me get this straight, folks. You think it's possible that the Pats are going to trade up into the top 10, which is going to cost them a future second or first round pick, then draft a kid, give him over $15 million to sign, which is what a top 10 quarterback is going to get, $15 million just to sign. He's not going to be ready. You're not going to play him right away because that's just the way they treat rookies. And then you're going to go bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick and give him $10 million on top of that? No freaking way.
Yeah, he'd look at it as wasted money. So unless it was a guy that he knew deep down, like, okay, this kid's ready to start week one, which I don't think at 15 there any of those guys would be, it's just not going to happen from a financial standpoint the way that they've spent money down there. It's just not going to happen. Maybe second round, third round, like I said, but get ready for a linebacker or an offensive lineman because that's what they're going to do with 15.
Okay, so Mike, just to clarify.
Hold on. And the full Herbert contract was guaranteed, according to Spotrac.
Okay, so just to clarify, you're not saying that you support it. You're just saying that knowing them that that's what they wouldn't do it.
I hate it. I hate their approach.
Okay, all right, because I just want to make that part of it clear. How do you expect to get a quarterback then?
So listen.
And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking in general. How do you expect to get a quarterback?
They're going to back into one, coach one up, win other ways. Folks, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our time with all this. You know, Mac Jones has been rising, right? He's rising up the board. He's now going to. You know, Tannenbaum would take him first over Lawrence and all these guys. Kuiper's got him going eighth overall, and people got the Pats trading up to get Mac Jones. And Mac Jones is past Trey Lance, and is Trey Lance going to drop now? Or is it Justin Fields? And do you have to be in the top 10 to get all these guys? And are the Pats more like a Mac Jones kind of team? Well, stop. You're wasting your time. Wasting your time. I hope I'm wrong, okay? And we'll still talk about it. Because it's fun to talk about. But as I'm sitting here today, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. They're not going to give, I don't think, one of these quarterbacks top 10 bonus money, which is $15 million to sign, and then sit him for a year and then pay anyone who's halfway decent to come in and start while the kid is, you know, redshirting, which is what I think they're going to do to the kid. That's what they do to most of their rookies. They redshirt him. And so, you know what makes sense to me? Well, in the second round last year, Jalen Hurts was drafted 53rd overall, second round pick. He got $2 million to sign, $2.8 guaranteed. His overall contract was 4 years, $6 million. Now we're talking. Now we're talking for the Patriots. Now you pay Ryan Fitzpatrick $10 million or Alex Smith $10 million or Jimmy Garoppolo north of that. And you're developing your second-round pick. He only makes $2 million. We're below our percentage of the cap. We're not too much out of pocket for these guys, and that's what they're going to do. This is why, back to my mission statement for today, you're going to hate everything they do at quarterback. Everything. You're going to hate the bum backup they bring in to be the starter, and you're going to hate the trade down into the second round to take the stiff from Florida or whoever. So just like I told you with the free agents, if you want to talk about Patriots free agents, go to your list of prime free agents in the NFL and scroll down, flip up your phone, scroll down to the middle of the list and start somewhere in the middle. Do the same thing at quarterback. This stuff, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, we're going to trade up it. What? It's a waste of our time. It ain't happening.
So I'll tell you again, and this is the vindictive side of me now, because I've told you this before. There's nothing I hate more than a team having an important position and having a need there and trying to skimp. I hate that. So you know what I hope happens? I hope they do draft a guy in the second round. I hope they pass on Mac Jones. Someone takes him before them. They can't grab him in the second rounds, and I hope he wins 3 Super Bowls in his career. Then I hope that they wait for Jimmy Garoppolo to get released, and Garoppolo gets released, and he picks the Bears. So the Patriots don't sign Garoppolo. They end up with some complete crap bum. They draft a guy in the second round who blows, and then they go 5-11. That's the vindictive side of me.
So again, you talk about the Andrew Callahan plan there in the Harold Murray. Mm-hmm. Plan A was Fitzpatrick and explore top 10 draft trades. No chance. No chance, Andrew. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, you know, the money's super important to them at this position as much as any for some reason. They got a freaking thing for the money they give the quarterback. They're going to give Fitzpatrick between $10 and $12 million guaranteed. Then they're going to trade up into the first round because you'll have to get into the top 10 to get one of these guys probably, which is going to cost them a future second or first round pick on top of that pick, and then give that rookie something like $15 million to sign, and they're not going to play him? You think they're going to do that? Well, you got to be delusional. Any of you. I mean, and I've suffered the same delusion. Yeah, they have to be aggressive. They'll go get a quarterback. Rookie quarterback money is cheap. It's not cheap in their world. The way they look at it, it's not cheap. It's cheap for everybody else, but not the way they are. Not how tight Bill is and the team is when it comes to this stuff. That's actually real money for a kid that they're going to redshirt. There's no chance of that. Andrew and Murray and the rest of you. Plan C. Plan C. Sign Marcus Mariota and add a mid-round prospect.
Yeah,
there it is.
C is for crap.
There it is.
That is plan C.
There it
C
is.
C for crap.
Gardner Minshew or Marcus Mariota. Cheap money at the starter. Cheap money as the backup. He says, as for mid-round rookies, consider Florida's Kyle Trask, Georgia's Jamie Newman, and Stanford's Davis Mills are names to remember. Oh, yes, they are. Those are the names to remember. I have them highlighted right there. Yeah, right there. Okay, those are the names. The Trey Lance, Mac Jones. Nope. Scroll down, everybody. Scroll down to the middle of the list and start there. That's who the Pats are drafting, and your free agent, the veteran quarterback. Scroll to the middle of the list, and there's the sweet spot for the New England Patriots. You're going to hate what they do all over the place.
Yep. Well, if that is the case, if that's what they do, I hope they suck.
So we'll get your thoughts on that spiel right after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stephen A., do you think Bill Belichick should prioritize a quarterback and trade up and get Mac Jones?
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
No shot, Stephen A. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not saying you're wrong to talk about it. The pre-draft chatter is a huge talker. We'll be talking about it. I'm happy to entertain it. But as I'm sitting here today, they're going to trade up into the first round and give a rookie quarterback a $15 million signing bonus and a $25 million guaranteed contract, and then bring in a veteran who they have to pay $10 million on top of that. I don't see them doing that. I see them doing that with the $10 million veteran, but that kid who's going to have to wait behind him is going to be cheap. It's cheap. It's going to be a second-round pick. At most, it's going to be a second-round pick. So scroll down, folks. Dream on about those first-round quarterbacks. That ain't happening. Back to your phones on this and anything else from the day that you want to get to. Wes in the car on Kyle Van Noy. You want him back, Wes?
Absolutely not. Big head, even bigger mouth, overrated. His best year was when you last won the Super Bowl, the boogeyman. Are you kidding me? That guy, you picked him off the trash heap from Detroit, right?
Yep.
And his numbers were junk. So he's almost like a small
guy. You're wrong.
Like myself behind a big guy like Tom Brady, who's running his mouth, and all of a sudden you put him on a bad team, zero production, you're going to get crap out of that guy.
Okay, well, I mean, I can't predict the future, but you're only half right about Van Noy. He's annoying. You know, big mouth and a big head and all those things you said. That part's true. He was good in your defense. And don't pretend like he wasn't.
Right.
He was good in your defense.
Well, and the other thing is,
quarterback, like they didn't have much at linebacker last year. It'd be crazy not to bring him back if he wants to come back.
Well, sir, I was just going to say, how is it that the Patriots are in position to say no to anybody? Like, seriously, other than a punter, Like, that's about the one spot. They have needs everywhere. They have needs everywhere. I wouldn't say no to anybody if I were the Patriots.
Well, Cam Newton.
Well, okay, so that's fair. Murray, yeah, I take that back.
Tim in Blackstone, what do you got, Tim?
Hey, guys, and I say this with, like, all seriousness. Is drafting Brady in the sixth round and falling ass backwards into them the worst thing that could have happened to the Patriots? It's
maybe.
Like banging a 10 on your first date and thinking that's what you're going to get for the rest of your life. Well, like, they're so arrogant about it. It's so frustrating.
Let me tell you what also plays against you. So Brady is, you know, the big one, obviously. But I think even going 11-5 with Castle. And I think, and look, I'm guilty of this too, right? It's like you go 11-5 with Castle, you can go 11-5 with Brian Hoyer. Like, you can just plug anyone in there. It's the system. And so I think the Castle year, maybe as much as anything, as much as the Brady thing, works against him. And Garoppolo or Brissett. Like, they drafted two guys there in the middle rounds when Brady was sort of fading and they thought they needed the next thing. Turns out both of them can play. Both of them are NFL quarterbacks. Bill probably looks at both of them, Garoppolo more, and says, I can win with that guy. And so that works against you too. And then you apply the price tag, which you always have to do here. Apply the price tag of that quarterback drafted in the top 10 and the guaranteed money you have to give him. And you're probably not going to play him. You're not going to play him as a rookie. They don't play rookies here. So now you're sinking that cost of guaranteed money for a kid that's going to sit. Yeah, Bill, you're going to lower himself and say, I'm going to, what, reach for you, you kid? I'm going to have to give up an extra one of my valuable picks and then give you $15 million guaranteed. And I ain't going to play you because I'm going to bust your bone. I'm going to, you know, make you make your bones and bust your balls for a year before you have a chance to see the field. He's not going to do that. He ain't going to do it. We're wasting our time talking about Mac Jones and Lance and all of this. Wasting our time.
Well, so look, that may be the case, but I'm with the caller. I just find the whole thing to be unbelievably arrogant. And you know what? Good analogy. You got the greatest quarterback of all time in the sixth round, and now you think you just stumble into it again? And Castle's a fair point, too. A backup you drafted in the seventh. So again, Bill's got all the answers. Everyone else is stupid. History has shown that the large majority of quarterbacks come in the first 40 picks in the draft. He's never taken one there. And he'll say, well, you're Brady. Well, you're Brady. Okay, fine, do it again. Do it again. Take him in the sixth round. It pisses me off, though. It does. How can it not piss you off as a follower of the team or a fan of the team? Well, when you look at it and say it's the most important position in sports, you have no money tied into the roster now anyway, not really, and you can't extend for a quarterback? That's asinine.
Long, get ready for it, Maz. They won't.
Oh, no, no. I know that the reason I'm getting agitated is because I know that's probably what they're going to do. If I had faith that they were going to, you know, extend for a quarterback on the market or in the draft, I wouldn't feel so bad. I don't have faith that they're going to do it.
And it's true, folks. We're violating one of the Felger and Maz commandments, getting you in trouble for something you haven't done yet. The Patriots haven't done this yet, but, yep, we're pissed at them. So that is happening today. We'll pick it up in our long commercial-free segment next. Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz. One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you do an autopsy of what Bill Belichick looks for at quarterbacks, processing information and intelligence is number one. Tom Brady, Jacoby Brissett, Brian Hoyer, Jimmy Garoppolo, they're all smart quarterbacks. So if you look at that through the lens of what he may do going forward, I look at maybe signing a veteran like Ryan Fitzpatrick, maybe trying to acquire Marcus Mariota, and then also going after someone like Mac Jones. It's the old Bill Belichick, Nick Saban connection. Bill Belichick's drafted 10 players that Nick Saban has coached. I don't think he'd be there at 15. I think he would have to go up there to above 8 to get him. But as Jeff and Lewis alluded to, I think he's going to be super aggressive.
I don't mean to laugh at Mike Tannenbaum, because I think a lot of people are doing this. I've been doing this. But the money is so important to them down there in Foxborough. So important. And so just follow the money. Think of the cost of doing what Mike Tannenbaum just said, the cost of it. Marcus Mariota, even if you can get him to renegotiate those stupid incentives that he has and just call him a $10 million quarterback, that's $10 million. The number on Fitzpatrick, you read around, $10 million, okay? So now you're $10 million into that veteran stopgap. Then you're going to trade up above 8 to draft Mac Jones. To get from 15 to 8 is going to cost you at least a second-round pick. This year, because there's a quarterback frenzy, it might be a future first, and it might be more. Then, once you get there, let's say you get to 6. Last year's 6th overall pick, Justin Herbert, signed 4 years, $26 million, 16.8 to sign, right there, and then 26.5 guaranteed. So, think of the, because you know they down there they start with, well, what does it cost? It's the cost. So the cost is $10 million guaranteed for Mariota or Fitzpatrick, plus maybe a draft pick for Mariota on top of it. Then a future second or first or both to move up in the draft to then draft a quarterback to then give $26 million guaranteed to. So now you're $35 million guaranteed into the quarterback position. You're not going to play the rookie. The veteran's going to suck. And that's they're going to do that? I don't think there's any shot of them doing that.
Do any of these guys actually take a look at Belichick's history when it comes to the position? Like, as Tannenbaum rattles it off there, and he says, look at all the guys he's drafted. Tom Brady, you know, Jacoby Brissett, Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer sucks. I don't care if he's smart or not. He blows. I know you liked him, but that's not the point. Like, he's had, you know, he's had a history in the league of sucking. He got inside the 20 yard. He got in the red zone in the game against Kansas City and acted like he'd never been there before. I mean, really, and look, I like Jacoby Brissett too, but can we also sort of put that into some sort of reality check? He's a backup. He's a backup quarterback, and I'm guilty of the next one. Jimmy Garoppolo. We talk about Jimmy Garoppolo like he's Joe Montana, and he's not. And I like Garoppolo, but even that one. Like, that one has taken on a life of its own, too. So I wonder, do these guys actually look at it and say, you know, Belichick doesn't actually have a history of investing at the position?
That's why the narrative of him as some sort of quarterback whisperer is a crock.
Oh, it's so annoying. Again, well, Tannenbaum was ready to sign Cam Newton to a multi-year contract after week two last year.
Well, Murray, I don't know if I totally agree with that. But quarterback whisperer connotes that he can coach up quarterbacks. There's some history of that. There is. Mm. I'm sorry. You don't want to admit it, but there is. He coached up Castle. He coached up Garoppolo. He coached up Brissett. I mean, I think there's something to that. There's no history of him being aggressive acquiring those players. None. In Cleveland, the biggest splashy, the closest he came was giving Testaverde a contract after his first year there. Because bringing in Testaverde wasn't a big splash. But Testaverde was washed. He was a rebound. Secondhand news coming out of Tampa Bay and, you know, 4 or 5 horrible years there. So he got Vinny Testaverde there on a reclamation project. And then after 1 year, gave him a little bit of money. That's the closest he's come. Otherwise, he inherited Bledsoe. Couldn't get rid of him fast enough. Lowballed Brady all the way through his career. And then drafted guys in the middle rounds. He's never gone big at the quarterback position. Ever. Yeah,
so, Mike, look, again, this to me isn't about Belichick's ability to coach up or...
Right, right. You know, well, that's what Murray said.
Yeah, Murray, the way I look at it is there has to be some base level of talent that you can coach up. Could he coach up Jarrett Stidham?
No.
How come that hasn't worked?
No.
I mean, how many guys has he had? Could he coach up Ryan Mallett?
Certainly not.
I mean, how many guys has he had that he hasn't been able to coach up? Like, why do we just look at the ones he has? Because there's a base level of talent there that is necessary. And this is the part about Bill that drives me bananas. He treats them like they're all the same. He treats Tom Brady like Jimmy Garoppolo or Brian Hoyer. Like, he can just take whatever you give him and turn him into Brady. And I think that that is so asinine it isn't even funny. It just presumes that everybody's the same. The whole planet's the same.
Okay, but just to be fair, he doesn't think he can coach the next guy into being Tom Brady. He doesn't think that. He thinks he can win with the next guy, though. So that's what he thinks. I mean, let's be fair.
Okay, but again, Mike, this is this idea that you can take anybody and turn them into a quarterback is wrong.
Yeah, so he overstates what I think he believes is that I can win my way, and I don't need a quarterback as great as Tom Brady to win, and I can get the level of play I need picking him where I want to pick him. But a big thing is the money, Maz. Don't discount this. If first round quarterbacks were cheap, yeah, you draft them in the first round, you stick them on the bench for a couple of years, it takes you to develop them while you sign a veteran. But they're, again, the first round quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, his entire contract last year was guaranteed. He has $17 million to sign, $26 million guaranteed on the contract. I think Belichick would just as soon choke himself than give some rookie that kind of money guaranteed.
I know, but, you know, it goes beyond rookies, too. I don't understand why they have an aversion to paying people who are good at their jobs. I don't know why. I don't understand why they have an – and, again, I recognize when you get into free agency and in the draft, there is some risk involved. When you don't have a quarterback, there's risk. This is the deal now. You don't have a quarterback. So you're going to have to absorb some level of risk unless you want to spend 20 years, 30 years, 40 years looking for the next Tom Brady.
Tua was drafted number 5 overall last year. He got a $20 million signing bonus. So it's like, I mean, and I think your quarterback, your rookie quarterback is going to sit. They sit rookies. So I just, they're going to have to trade up to get to that number, which is a future first or second round pick at least. Then give the kid $20 million right out of the chute and sit him for a year. I just.
They would look at that as lighting money on fire. They would never do it.
I would do it. Like, I would absolutely do it. Oh, they should do it.
I would, too, yeah. And if they're actually going to be uncharacteristically aggressive, that's the term we keep hearing, that's what they would do. But their core values in terms of money show you that it's not going to happen. This is why they're going to probably re-sign Cam Newton and trade that 15th pick for later round picks and then draft Kellen Mond or one of these guys halfway down the page, like you say. Just scroll on down, keep scrolling, and they'll get someone in the third or fourth round.
Again, I just look at this is the cost of doing business. If you want an elite talent or a good talent and you're high up in the draft, you have to pay for it. That, what do you want it for free?
So
like that blows me away.
And let me tell you, if I'm wrong, and I hope I am, believe me, I hope I'm wrong. I hope they get aggressive at the quarterback position and pay for it and be aggressive, and I want them to do that, believe me. But so if they do that and I'm wrong, they're going to be martyrs about it. You know, well, we had to give the rookie quarterback a $15 million signing bonus, and he wasn't ready to play. So, yeah, we have $20 million in cap room, but what do you want? We had to, you know, we sold out to win our championship. We had to sell out to draft this quarterback. So, we look at the money we devoted at the quarterback position between Marcus Mariota and the signing bonus for the high draft pick. We were aggressive at the position, but what, you want us to spend money elsewhere now?
Yeah, would you accept that as an excuse?
Of course, I'm going to rip them for it. It's another thing they're in trouble for, and they haven't done it yet. But I know it's coming. I know it. If I'm wrong and they are aggressive at quarterback and they trade up in the first round and sign a quarterback in the top 10 and give them that big bonus money, they're going to be martyrs about it. They're going to be martyrs about it.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I'm not going to accept that as a viable explation, and neither will you. And I'm already
ripping them for it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying that the problem is, if the Patriots are going to do that, the problem is they got themselves in this spot in the first place. That's the mistake.
Well, here it comes.
Okay, so whether they want to admit that, or, to me, there's, I don't want to say an easy way to get out of it.
I don't know if you know, Murray, but there was a point there where they had the guy.
No, they had the guy, Mike.
I wasn't going to say it. That.
Yes, you were.
I wasn't going to say. I was not going to say that. What I was going to say is they could have drafted someone other than Eddie Etling. They could have drafted someone other than Jarrett Stidham. They could have been more aggressive last offseason in terms of finding a quarterback. They had a million opportunities to do something to be in a better spot than they are right now, and they did Jackson. J.C. Jackson. They did squat.
So,
zero.
What is your prediction for the Patriots at quarterback? Mine is simply whatever it is, you're going to hate it. You are going to hate it. I can't give you the specific names, but there'll probably be a veteran who will hate, and there'll be a draft pick that they trade down for that we will hate. And that is that. I just can just feel it coming in my bones. Back to your thoughts. We'll take your calls on everything. We did some Jack Eichel trade talk earlier. That's still on the board if you want to go there. The Patriots opt-out's coming back. Kyle Van Noy now available to return to the Patriots. Your calls on all of it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.